Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to the Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on a Thursday on Football Full Circle. It is FFC all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. A Thursday begins a new week once again in the National Football League. Week number 8 gets underway tonight in Los Angeles. A good short week Thursday night football game between the Rams and the Vikings. Minnesota, a 5-1 team who suffered their first loss of the season just a Sunday ago in a great divisional duel against the Lions, a Rams team that won just its second game of the year last Sunday and did not cover against the Raiders to improve to 2-4. But Joe, if we were just going to judge the records, this game would not have a lot of juice, but it certainly does. A fishy line that could be out there in the moving markets and an impactful game for both of these teams. The Vikings trying to avoid a second consecutive loss after a perfect 5-0 start to the season. The Rams trying to resurrect their year and maybe stave off having to sell some of the household names in this organization. Week number 8 starts on this Thursday inside SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, and it's a good game. I mean, you know, what are you going to get out of Minnesota after going toe-to-toe with their divisional rival, Detroit, 31-29? They lose that matchup. It's a short week. They go to the West Coast. And this is a team in terms of L.A. that's 2-4 overall. They're searching for an identity. If they could get to 3-4, I still think they have a very good chance to make the playoffs at +610. And more importantly, Ben, yeah, they have the head-to-head against San Francisco. You can't count them out for a potential NFC West title.
No, you cannot, Joe. With a win tonight, entering the rest of the Week 8 slate, the Rams would be just a game behind Seattle in a logjam with Arizona and San Francisco. All three of those teams would be at 3-4. So, Joe, let's start with the news before we talk about the spread and the numbers for Thursday night. We expect Cooper Kupp to be back. He was inactive last week despite progressing in hopes of playing against Las Vegas, but maybe Sean McVay and that Rams organization having the foresight to understand it would have been a quick turnaround for Cooper Kupp on this short week Thursday night game. But Joe, we got some word early this morning from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero that Puka Nacua might also make his return tonight for the L.A. Rams. A historic rookie wide receiver season for Nacua last year in L.A. was banged up most of the offseason, training camp, preseason. Tried to give it a go in the season opener against the Lions. Did not last long. Joe, this Rams team, where health has been a major issue the first month and a half of this year, is now trending toward getting healthier and could get two of the top targets for Matthew Stafford back on this Thursday night.
Yeah, and that's why I think if they do, in fact, win, Ben, they don't move Cooper Kupp. And I understand that Cooper Kupp maybe is a little injury prone since that dynamic season where, you know, they won the Super Bowl. I get that. But at the end of the day, he's still a main part of that offense. And you can't double team both of those guys, Puka and Cooper, when they're in that lineup. That gives Matt Stafford another option. They have a dynamic running back in Kyren Williams. Offensive line hopefully is getting healthier, and the defense hasn't been all that bad, a bend but don't break a type of unit. So again, I think when you look at LA big picture, I still can see them as a potential 10-win football team, and that's why I don't believe that Cooper Kupp is on the move should they win tonight.
And Joe, that's part of the significance of tonight, no doubt about it, in terms of the storylines and the reports. Rumors swirling in the last few days that Cooper Kupp was on the trading block. Even LA reaching out to organizations to see if they would have enough draft capital and trade assets to send back to LA for a staple of this franchise in the Triple Crown winner from a few years ago in Cahooper, that being Cooper Kupp, who was injured week number two against the Cardinals after a prolific week number one, 14 grabs on 21 targets for 110 yards and a touchdown. But Kupp really hasn't been healthy now for the last 2.5 years since the Rams won a Super Bowl back in 2021. There was a report that prior to the acquisition of DeAndre Hopkins, Kansas City and LA were on the brink of a deal that would have set Kupp to KC. Joe, this is why this game is so important. If the Rams win as an underdog at home and improve to 3-4, it seems as though they will stave off the rebuild of this Rams organization and still be all in on making a playoff charge. But Joe, even if they cover as now a 2.5-point favorite, but end up on the losing end outright, the Rams fall to 2-5, and this team might look a lot different in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, then they might even be in the market for a quarterback, right? We've even heard Stafford being potentially moved, should things not work out. But you have to give it your best shot. I mean, to say that the LA Rams with Matt Stafford and a healthy Cooper Kupp and Puka can potentially be one of the better, if not above average teams in the NFC, I think they can be. I mean, I picked them to make the playoffs, and they have the head-to-head, like I mentioned, over San Francisco. Seeing how beaten down the 49ers are, you have to go all in. This is a perfect opportunity to win the division. So I disagree with all the negativity and all the potential trade rumors. I don't see it. You go all in tonight. You try to win this game, get back to 500, and then it's a race to the finish line.
I completely agree, Joe. I don't really understand it. I would maybe get it more if they do fall to 2-5. But the reason they are struggling is because of the health or lack thereof earlier this year for LA. The defense is getting healthier. The offensive line was a main concern the first few weeks, just trying to keep Matthew Stafford upright and give him time. They are now much healthier. And if you add Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua back, boom, you might have the recipe for a team that won 10 games and made the postseason a year ago. Joe, let's flip it to the other side. The Minnesota Vikings, who had their first loss of the season last week in a great divisional duel against the Detroit Lions. Minnesota, of course, was 5-0 to start this year, one of the final two undefeated teams alongside Kansas City. Not just 5 wins in their first 5 weeks, but 5 covers as well, which makes the market very compellingly, guy. It's a 2.5-point spread now in favor of the Vikings. Earlier in the week, just about 2 days ago, this was a flat 3, that very key number of a field goal in favor of Minnesota. And Joe, when you look on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, 90% of the bets on the spread are coming in on the Vikings. And despite all of the betting love, the market has worked back toward Los Angeles off a hugely key number of 3, now down to just 2.5. What do you make of the market and what the spread says for this Thursday night?
Well, that's what I call a divergence. It's a trading term, but it's where market sentiment and public opinion is supposedly one way, but the market goes in the opposite direction, which is a huge indicator that potentially you're on the wrong side, right? Again, I like LA no matter what, even if they were late 2.5 in this game because of the short week and the fact that Minnesota potentially emotionally and physically might be a little bit banged up playing Detroit and losing a very close game, 31-29. But I still believe the +122 is in play for the Rams tonight.
Yeah, listen, I would agree with it, Joe, from that money line perspective, especially now with this number less than three. It is fascinating to see the number move off a very key number of a field goal for a short week Thursday night game and it not go up to 3.5 despite 90% of the bets on the spread in favor of the favored side. That is incredibly interesting. Is it Schaap? Is it Joe Poe? Might it be Joe Mo? That's what we discuss on the other side of the break. The trends you need to know, the players in this impactful game that might determine the outcome tonight inside SoFi Stadium to kick off week number 8 of the NFL season. It's the Rams. It's the Vikings. It's football full circle. Come back and join us up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. So, Lisi guy, we have talked about the importance of tonight's Thursday night football game in LA between the Rams and the Vikings. When you look at these two teams, Joe, Minnesota, 5-1. First loss of the year just last week against the Detroit Lions. They were a slight home favorite. They lost that game by 2 after storming back from down by double digits late in the second half. Minnesota's outlook we'll discuss in just a moment. You talked about the Rams' playoff price at plus 610. If LA is going to have a chance of cashing that big plus money number, tonight feels like a must win. Would you agree, Joe?
I do. That'll be in the area of about 4-1, if not plus 350, about the Rams. And again, I know that the schedule was tough, Ben, but they were plus 790 a week ago, before they got the victory over Las Vegas. And again, they churn out another win, right? 20-15, it's ugly. Gardner Minshew kept Las Vegas in the game, so the Rams get the win, but no cover. And I think now, you know, the market is just saying, you know, especially with tonight, if Minnesota dominates, they're dead and buried. But, you know, I compared L.A. to the Cincinnati Bengals just in regards to the price, right? Bengals were 2-4. Rams were basically 1-4 before the game last week. The Bengals' price to make the playoffs was minus 122, minus 124. And you had plus 790 on the other side. Why wouldn't you take that shot? I honestly believe L.A. and Matt Stafford have a legitimate shot. He's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback with a Super Bowl coach. They have the advantage tonight over Sam Darnold and O'Connell, no matter the fact that Minnesota has the better record.
Yeah, listen, I would tend to agree. The public does not, right? All the bets on Minnesota right now, and yet the line working against them. It is Joe Poe versus Joe Mo, or those sharps out there. Who might be the wheel tonight? That remains to be seen. For the Rams, Joe, a big one. For Minnesota, let me just ask you this before we dive in to the props. If the Vikings were to drop a second consecutive game, there have been some, Joe, that have kind of debated where the Vikings stand in the pantheon of the NFC, despite the perfect 5-0 undefeated start. All right, a great start, but still the Lions or the Packers are better NFC North teams. All right, a great start, but they're really not a conference contender with Sam Darnold as their quarterback. If the Vikings were to drop a second consecutive game, do you still think Minnesota, as of this moment, Joe, is a playoff contender to earn a postseason berth?
It depends on how they lose. If they lose like 30-17 with the defense giving up back-to-back 30-point performances, then I'd say they're not a contender anymore, because the one thing that kept them in it for the first 5 weeks of the regular season, even though Sam Darnold was playing above his head, was the defense, right? Against the Jets, they entered that game with the second-best rushing defense, holding opposing offenses to 75 yards per game. We saw Jahmyr Gibbs rip them for a buck 16 and they allowed 30 points in that loss. If they give it back to back, now the defense is starting to slip along with the regression of Sam Darnold, then that's a cause of concern. They lose this game 17-13 and the defense plays lights out, I'd say they're a contender.
Yeah, we will see, Joe, and I agree with that. Still a heavy minus money price at greater than four Bills for the Vikings to be a playoff team in the NFC. Don't think they're going to win the NFC North. Still give the edge to the Lions at the end of the day, maybe even the Packers at 5-2. Do believe Minnesota is a good football team. Third worst passing defense, but second best rushing defense in the NFL, which makes this matchup, Joe, incredibly compelling. We talked about the spread. If the number was still at three, it would be the highest in favor of Minnesota this year. Not only a perfect 5-0 start, but covering in all five of those wins to begin the year undefeated. The Rams on the other side, 2-4 straight up, but just 1-5 against the spread, a dog in 5 of 6 games. Last week, first time for Los Angeles as a favorite, did not cover, laying a touchdown against the Raiders, despite turning Gardner Minshew over 4 times. They're 1-4, Joe, against the number, are the Rams as a dog this year. Last year, much better, 6-3-1 ATS as an underdog. In terms of the total, Lisi guy, 48.5. Short week Thursday night football game, but with the reinforcements offensively, maybe we're feeling like there could be some points. How do you see the offensive production on this Thursday in LA?
I mean, I want to say over, but I lean to the under because I don't know what you're going to get from the offense of Minnesota. That's the concern. I know what I have with Matt Stafford, especially with Puka and Kupp, right? Kyren Williams, I think, could be a main factor in this matchup. But outside of that, I think, you know, is Sam Darnold going to light it up for 250, even though that's the weakness of LA right now, the secondary?
Yeah.
We'll see. I'd rather take a wait and see approach. I lean to under 48.5. But if the first 8 minutes, like it was last week against Las Vegas, is scoreless, I'll jump in the low 40s or even high 30s for that matter.
Yeah, it will be, Joe, a very intriguing game from the offensive perspective. How healthy is Cooper Kupp or perhaps Puka Nacua? Do the Rams, healthier on the defensive side, who have played 2 straight games to the under, a win last week against the Raiders included in that, want to keep this game lower scoring? Might they turn to Kyren Williams despite the fact the Vikings have the second best rushing defense in the NFL? That all remains to be seen. I will say this, Minnesota under in 4 of 6 games this year. The only 2 overs for the Vikings, those 2 divisional duels against the NFC North, 31-29, the victory against Green Bay, 31-29, the loss last week against Detroit. Joe, the Vikes have given up 60 points total in their 2 NFC North games. They've only allowed 47 total points in their 4 non-divisional games this year, all 4 games under. The Rams over in 3 of their first 4, now under in 2 straight. So we're liking the Rams. At least Joe is. I'm not going to say my opinion. I don't want to, skew his algorithm all that much here. We'll talk about the props and the guys returning tonight in Los Angeles and how they will impact the outcome. A quarterback matchup, Sam Darnold versus Matthew Stafford. Sammy D, great to start the year, has cooled down in the last 2 weeks. Can Matthew Stafford find the reunion with Nacua and Kupp tonight? Find out next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on FFC. Lisi, guys, we get you set for Thursday night football tonight in LA between the Rams and the Vikings. Let's start with the quarterback comparison. Matthew Stafford's number on the rise. Could that be because of the returners at the wide receiver position? 242.5 is the number now for Stafford. It was 237.5 just about an hour and a half ago. Joe, I'll ask it this way. We expect Cooper Kupp back. Positive reports about Puka Nacua, but no official confirmation or prop listed as of yet. If Kupp and Nacua both play tonight, how big of an offensive night might it be for Stafford and the Rams?
I think it'll be good, but I still think in order for the Rams to win, they need to establish the run with Kyren Williams. And I know that sounds crazy, but I think when they're a much balanced football team, when they're running the football effectively, that goes right into the strength of Minnesota. But like I mentioned, Jahmyr Gibbs had a huge night last week. That's why I like Kyren to get over his total of 73.5. I think that'll open up the passing attack. I don't think they throw it to run the football. I think it's the other way around. They establish the run and then work off of play action. So I'm a little tempered on Kupp and Nacua tonight.
You know, it is interesting, Joe, because I would agree. Kyren Williams, in the absence of their offensive contributors, the main ones in Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp the last few weeks, has been everything. 73.5 is his rushing yards prop. He has scored a rushing touchdown in 9 consecutive regular season games dating back to last year, all 6 of them this season. He's got 9 total touchdowns this year. It's why he's minus 195 to find pay dirt tonight. But again, Minnesota is really good defending the run. Second best rushing defense in the NFL, only allowing 80 yards per game. But then again, Lisey guy, part of that could be game script dependent. Minnesota is the third worst passing defense. And yet the Vikings starting out this year would get so far in front that teams would have to play from behind and air it out. Use the game where Jordan Love went crazy, threw for 4 touchdowns with 3 interceptions in his return against the Vikings as an example. Last week, however, it was Detroit in front, and the Vikes had to stage a comeback attempt. Jared Goff, 22 of 25, 280 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I do expect a good night out of Stafford. At least the guy, other side, Sammy D. Sam Darnold had 11 touchdown passes in the opening 4 games of this year for Minnesota to pace the NFL in the opening month. He had multiple touchdown passes in all the first 4 games for the Vikings. Last 2, just 1 touchdown pass to 2 interceptions. How do you see Sam Darnold faring against the Rams tonight?
I think he has to attack. I think he has to get through his number. And I think, you know, JJ and Addison have to have a huge night for them to pull off this victory. I think the Rams have been pretty good against the run. They shut down Las Vegas last week for the most part, held them to field goals. Red zone defense has been good. So I think Sam Darnold needs to air it out. They can't be one-dimensional and run the football consistently, even though Aaron Jones had 90-plus on the ground last week. Give me Sam Darnold over his total tonight.
Yeah, listen, Sam Darnold at 245.5 has that higher prop available as compared to Matthew Stafford. And he has been good, Joe. And if Sam Darnold is good, natural thought would then be correlate that with Justin Jefferson, has the highest receiving yards prop available for any player in this game at 84.5. He's at least 81 receiving yards, Joe, in the last 5 games. He's got 5 receiving touchdowns this year at minus 120. Cooper Kupp's number up ever so slightly from 66.5 to 67.5. Joe, you're a little bit more hesitant, it seems, with the aerial attack, despite liking the Rams tonight. What will it take, if at all, for you to bet Cooper Kupp? Will it be a live number? Will his number come down if Puka Nacua has a prop listed? How would you approach the Rams receivers?
Well, I'm going to do it from an in-game perspective mostly. But again, if they're trailing in this game, and let's say Minnesota does, because Minnesota's done a fantastic job when they were 5-0, jumping up early, right? And really dictating the tempo. It was the game against Detroit where they struggled in the first half with a little bit of consistency and how to play from behind. So if they can dictate the tempo early on and LA is down, let's say 7-0 or 10-0 playing at home and Kyren can't get any yards and you want to give me a number like 50 or 40 on Kupp and Nacua, I'd jump on that in a heartbeat and probably alt it better.
Yeah, listen, I would agree with that sentiment very much as well. Some final thoughts for Thursday night, and then we'll set the stage for the rest of the weekend in the NFL. The news and notes you must know from Wednesday, live right here on FFC. A new week in the National Football League. Week 8 starts tonight. We get you set next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Quickly before we move on from Thursday night, Lisi guy, one more player I think we should discuss entering is Aaron Jones. In his first year in Minneapolis, he has been sensational for the Vikings. Four of six games, he's had at least 109 scrimmage yards. Only two touchdowns, but did find pay dirt last week against the Detroit Lions. 70.5 is his rushing yards prop for this Thursday night game against the Rams. 24.5 is his receiving yards prop. Again, like Kyren Williams, both of these backs tonight expected to flirt with 100 scrimmage yards. Joe, what's your outlook for Aaron Jones?
I think Aaron Jones could catch the football in this game. I know he's been doing it on the ground, but he's a versatile running back. Did have the hamstring, but I'm more inclined to take him in the receiving game tonight than I am the rushing attack. So we'll see how this plays out. He's a great pass catcher coming out of the backfield. I think LA will try to take away the rushing attack, force Darnold to short to intermediate throws, and that means Aaron Jones and even a little Ty Chandler in the receiving game tonight, Ben.
25-plus receiving yards for Aaron Jones, which would be over this prop and 5 of 6 with the Vikings this season. All right, news elsewhere around the NFL. Joe, the reason we love Thursdays, it starts off a new week, but it also allows us to react to the first full day of practice for all NFL clubs getting ready for a Sunday slate. No bye weeks in week 8. So everybody in action Thursday, a very full Sunday, and of course on Monday. 14 games on Sunday, Joe, and yet again, it is an absolute must-win, gotta have it, cannot even think about losing spot for the New York Jets. They're a 7-point road favorite in Foxborough against the Patriots on Sunday afternoon. And Joe, I guess this is to be expected, but Aaron Rodgers is dealing with a hamstring injury along with a sore ankle and knee. I guess that's what happens when you're a 40-year-old quarterback.
It is. And again, are we going to start to hear this throughout the coming weeks, how banged up Aaron Rodgers is? Because now this came out. That's why, you know, he struggled a little bit against Pittsburgh. Devontae is back. Hey, Tay, what's up? He couldn't wait to say it on McAfee, right? He looked like the hamstring was fine then.
Right.
And if McAfee was on the Sports Grid Network, I would have asked him, how, you know, was the hamstring bothering you when you introduced him? Because it only seemed to creep up after the fact that they got shellacked by 22 points in that matchup. Yeah. So we'll see how this plays out. I'm telling you this right now. I don't believe New York is dialed in as a team. Players, certain players might be dialed in, and this team is a mess right now. Give me the 7 mess. Points. I'll take New England with Drake May to at least keep it close, and it wouldn't shock me, Ben, if they struck the upset just because of how bad the Jets are.
Wow. Wow, if that happens and the Jets fall to 2-6, it's over, it's done, and we roast them to oblivion on Monday here on Football Full Circle. Hassan Reddick now under contract on the practice field in Florham Park for the first time this year. We found out from Aaron Rodgers meeting with the media yesterday that Devontae Adams gave a rah-rah speech on Sunday after the loss. Aaron said it was the realest he had ever heard in his 2 decades in the NFL. Whatever that absolutely means. Also, like, what is Devontae saying? Hey, guys, I know I've been here for 4 days, but we can't have this stuff keep happening. Like, give me a break. This is the most dramatic team the NFL has ever known because of the most overdramatic, melodramatic, self-centered hypocrite who ever played the quarterback position in the National Football League. His name is Aaron Rodgers. From the actual football perspective, though, Joe, for a 40-year-old quarterback who is now sore everywhere in his body, you probably don't want him to be attempting all that many passes. Why don't you trust the young running backs? Breece Hall, Braylon Allen. Has not been the case. Aaron Rodgers, second most pass attempts in the National Football League, only behind Geno Smith. And yet, among quarterbacks that have started a majority of their team's games this year, he is 28th in completion percentage, 61.7%. Not a recipe for success. Joe, when Todd Downing took over play calling responsibilities, albeit in the loss to Buffalo, at least they got Breece Hall 20-plus touches. He had 118 yards on the ground. And then last week in their game against the Steelers, 54 rushing yards. The week prior, 36 rushing yards for the Jets. Only 64 rushing yards against the Broncos. If you acquire Devontae Adams, maybe you don't really think too much about the ground game, but if you acquire Devontae Adams, then you better go out there and score 28 plus in every game. They got blanked in the second half by the Steelers on Sunday night.
Yeah, they did. And again, no offensive identity. Breece Hall had a dynamic game catching the football, but the rushing attack was non-existent. And when you have an explosive offense, right, on the other side, Pittsburgh was cooking in that matchup. You want to keep them on the sidelines, right? You want to sustain drives. They didn't do that. They tried to get into a shootout. And I'm sorry, the New York Jets aren't built that way. They're not consistent. Here's the other thing. Are we sure Todd Downing is calling the plays? Because this offense seems, I'm serious. This seems to be run by Aaron Rodgers. Did you see when the instant review with the red flag, he throws it back off the sidelines? I'm like, that's like, really, who's running the team right now? It's Aaron Rodgers or bust.
Yeah, I mean, he wears the pants. He runs the team. He also is known famously for audibling at the line of scrimmage. It's why he didn't really get along all that well with his former head coach in Green Bay, Matt LaFleur, who was at practice yesterday outside of Lambeau. Robert Saleh out there with his buddy LaFleur taking in Packers practice. Good for you, Robert. They made you the scapegoat in New York. You go out there, you get yourself a defensive coordinator job next year, and you rub it in Aaron Rodgers' face that you can also help out in some sort of advisory role with the Green Bay Packers. Joe, plenty of quarterback news around the NFL. A couple of new quarterbacks will take over in Cleveland, as assumed. Jameis Winston, now named the starting quarterback for the injured Deshaun Watson. Whether it was because of a scary car accident for Andy Dalton or just the idea they wanted to return to Bryce Young, Bryce Young has been named the starter once again in Carolina. Both of these teams, Joe, are 9.5-point underdogs on Sunday. The Browns welcoming the hottest team in the NFL, the Ravens, 9.5-point dog. Ken Dorsey takes over for Kevin Stefanski as the new play caller offensively for the Browns. And Bryce Young, welcome back, bud. Go deal with one of the best defenses in the NFL as a 9.5-point dog in Denver.
I think Baltimore rolls against Cleveland. But I like Bryce Young. I'm going to take the points. I am. There is not going to be. I might be in a handful of people sick enough to take the Carolina Panthers plus the 9.5 against big bad Bo Nix. But I'll take it. I mean, I think that's way. I know they got absolutely kicked in the chops, but everybody back in Denver now, this is a perfect opportunity to reset with Bryce Young. He might throw for 300.
Oh.
I'll ult them.
I mean, come on. Listen, I kind of agree with the idea of them at least being able to cover. They've been an awful cover team, as we have shared so many times. 5-17-2 against the spread since the start of last year. An underdog in all 24 games, both 1-6 straight up and ATS this year, of course, as well. The man ain't throwing for 300. He's throwing not for less than 200. No, I know. He's not throwing for 300. If he throws for 200, that's probably going to get you some plus money because he's thrown for less than that in 11 of the last 12. And Denver is the third best scoring and total defense, fifth best passing defense, second most sacks in the NFL, having recorded 28 through 7 weeks. But I do kind of agree, Joe. In what world, again, I think the Broncos are going to be a winning football team this year. They're playing sound football. But the Broncos have been an underdog in 5 of 7 games. And the 2 games they were favored were against the Raiders and the Saints by less than a field goal. And we're going to make them a 9.5-point favorite? Come on now. I might join you there. You know the things? Who's sick enough to bet this game at 9.5? Me and Lisi in hospital beds. We'll talk to you next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Let's talk about some college football, huh? The final weekend in October. And despite what that man on your screen, if you're watching, or my co-host, the mastermind of the pigskin, might try to tell you, this weekend rocks. We've got five ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts, the most in a single Saturday all year. We've got five ranked versus ranked matchups because Navy and Vandy are ranked and involved against another ranked team. We've got crucial games in the Big Ten in primetime and really all day long. Another huge Saturday in the SEC. Big 12 battles where one of the nine remaining undefeated teams is a road underdog in Orlando. And I'm being told this weekend doesn't have the juice. Spare me.
Well, it's good. It's not as good as it was last week. I love it. You know, I love, no. I love it. I'm going to watch every game, but we have to call it what it is. They're great matchups. They're not only last week, we had Arkansas versus LSU, Tennessee, Bama, right? We had those games that went right. That Friday night battle in Provo, Oak State and BYU.
Fantastic, yeah.
I mean, unbelievable matchups from start to finish. Auburn, Missouri last week. I mean, you want me to keep going? Come on.
For sure.
Fantastic.
You want to talk about Friday?
Amazing. Friday night.
Texas Tech Baylor. That's where you want to go. You want to open up that can of worms?
Yeah.
Fraudulent team down there in Lubbock. You want to talk Friday night bangers? Let me present Friday night to you. Louisville, BC. All right, fine. The Cards try to bounce back as a 7.5-point road favorite in Chestnut Hill. The Group of Five game of the year that might dictate tomorrow who earns one of the five automatic berths to the college football playoff. Number 17, Boise State. UNLV in Sin City on a Friday night in Viva Las Vegas. And then the game that everybody is staying up late for out in Los Angeles. If the appetizer is the World Series in downtown L.A., the whole damn salami and entree is Rutgers and USC. 11 p.m. Eastern time kick at the Coliseum.
You can't even bet it in New Jersey. I'm going to be watching. I can't even get it in the in-game. I'll say this. If Lincoln Riley loses that, I already said Lincoln Riley equals Clay Helton. I already said that. That's a given right now. He hasn't won a big game in his career in USC, okay? He loses to Greg Schiano in Rutgers in the Coliseum, and they have four losses before the end of October. What you want to talk about ROI and, you know, return on investment? What does that get you for $12 million?
Five losses, Joseph. Five losses by the end of October. That would be 1-5 in Big Ten play. I would agree. Lincoln Riley right now is 5-9 in his last 14 games at USC after a tremendous 12-1 start or 11-1 start, whatever it was. But let's talk some of those matchups on Saturday. You want a good one with LSU?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Here's a great one with LSU. Eighth-ranked LSU on the road against number 14 Texas A&M in College Station inside Kyle Field. The Aggies, a home favorite, laying 2.5 points. Lisi, a few weeks ago, LSU was the home underdog. Night game in Death Valley against Ole Miss. The Bayou Bengals win outright as the underdog. Can they do the same, but on the road in College Station?
I think they can. Now, the series does favor Texas A&M. They've won the last three in College Station by an average margin of 10 points per game, Ben. But still, this comes down to two factors. Who has the better quarterback? Who has the better defense? And I believe that's LSU right now. Nussmeier playing lights out. Back-to-back wins against Arkansas. And obviously that game against Ole Miss where he pulled it out. And that defense, I think, is absolutely legit. Blake Baker has been a great addition. They are flying to the football. Whit Weeks. That Whit Weeks all over the football field. Him and Greg Penn are flying, baby. Give me LSU in the minor upset.
So listen here, Lisi guy, you are correct. These two teams have split their last six meetings with home field being the difference, including in a 7-overtime game way back in 2018 in College Station. But one of the keys for LSU, and the one thing that I wanted to see, was this defense. Lisi guy, a Bayou Bengals team that went over in 12 of 13 games a year ago, has played to the under in four straight. They gave up 38 yards on the ground. That's it against Arkansas last week, where you thought the athletic Taylen Green and action Jaquindon Jackson might be able to make some hay. Not at all. LSU allowing less than 21 points per game now. They gave up 28 and 416 yards last year. 24 sacks for LSU and Blake Baker, tied for the seventh most in college football. Listen, I don't love the game. I do think LSU is the better team. On a neutral field, for me, it would be Bayou Bengals. A&M, though, in this spot, it 2.5 points, interesting to say the least. I don't know if I'm going to have a bet on it, Lisa guy, except maybe the under. That might be the way that I look at it. A&M's defense, not great this year, but has been pretty good as of late. A&M just 2-5 against the spread this year, booked as a favorite in all seven. Two covers on the road against Florida in Gainesville a couple of weeks ago, start of October against Missouri early on to start this SEC slate. And they were dominant in that matchup. A ton of other SEC games, Joe, but let's go to the number one team in the country, Oregon, at home inside Autzen Stadium Saturday afternoon, laying three tuds against 20th ranked Illinois. Listen, it makes sense to see the spread here, but is it too much, Joe, for an Illini team that under Brett Bielema is electric as an underdog?
Well, I think it's too many points. I think Illinois, even though they got the emotional win over Michigan, they're a blue-collar team, methodical type of offense. I think they could ground it out. And I said to Carver last night, they lose it maybe 24-14. Oregon now the number one team in the nation. They've dominated back-to-back games, blowout specials. This might be a little too close for comfort, but I think they win, but no cover.
Yeah, Joe, it's difficult, right? Because I don't think Illinois pulls off another outright upset as an underdog. They've won 10 games outright as a dog with Brett Bielema since 2021. One of four Power Four programs that can say that. I don't think they win, but I think they can keep it within the number. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, we get you set for the weekend in football. We'll do that on a Football Friday, but frankly, with 14 NFL games on a Sunday slate, a lot of that time will be dedicated to the NFL, so let's get to college as much as we can. I mentioned five ranked versus ranked matchups. We've hit on two. Here's the only other one outside of the SEC, along with Oregon and Illinois in the Big 10. This one, a matchup of a team from the American, perhaps one of the most American teams, against a team from South Bend, Indiana, with no conference allegiance. It's 12th ranked Notre Dame. It's 24th ranked Navy in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I heard some whispers that College Football Today might actually have its first live show outside of MetLife. Unsubstantiated, sadly, at this moment. But Lisa, guys, still going to be a great game. Notre Dame, number 12 in the country. Navy, ranked for a second consecutive week at 24th in the land. Notre Dame's a 12.5-point favorite. Lisa, guy, they've won six straight. Only two of the six decided by single digits, even less than 20 points. Can Navy keep this game close?
I think they can. And the reason why is because even though Riley Leonard has broken out in recent weeks, with the passing attack, it hasn't been consistent throughout the regular season. And that's typically how you knock off a triple option team. When you have the much better quarterback as it relates to the passing attack, it's almost like a basketball game. You want to run up and down the court versus a half court type of offense, right? Same thing with this. If you have the ability to jump up 14-0, 17-0, and force Kyle Forbath and that offense to play from behind, then you have a shot. But I don't know. I really believe this is going to be an ugly type of game. And, you know, I think Navy throws the football a lot better than Army. So keep an eye out for that,
for sure,
because the play action could get that secondary. And they've been playing lights out for Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame wins. But I think this game is 24-20, right down to the wire.
Yeah, I would agree, Lisa guy. I also... it may be going to lean over. Navy, fourth best scoring offense in the country, nearly 45 points per game. Navy is the only team in all of college football at the FBS level to play every single one of its games two and over. Six games up, six games over by an average margin of 16.3 points per game. Now, Notre Dame is by far the best defense that the midshipmen have seen this year. Memphis, not bad, but Notre Dame even clears. They're the fifth best scoring defense, allowing less than 12 points per game. When you said Kyle Forbath, I was trying to figure out who that might have been. That's why I was smiling. Blake Horvath, the quarterback for the Mids. Navy is averaging, Joe, 161 passing yards per game this year. The last time the midshipmen averaged more than 125 yards per game passing in a season was nearly a decade ago in 2016. He's had at least 112 passing yards in all five FBS games, eight touchdowns to zero interceptions. Three touchdowns last week he threw for as the Naval Academy routed Charlotte 51-17. And oh, by the way, Navy is covered in all five of its games against FBS foes. Notre Dame, Joe, is covered in all five of its games against non-MAC competition. Should be a really good one inside MetLife Stadium on Saturday. How about the renewal of a rivalry for the first time in nearly a century? Texas and Vanderbilt. Again, the reason we have five top 25 tilts is because Vandy is ranked in the middle of a season for the first time since 2008. But the odds makers expect the Longhorns to bounce back after suffering their first loss of the year last week against Georgia. 18.5 is the spread in favor of UT on the road in Nashville against the Doors. Vandy, though, Joe, a perfect 4-0 ATS this year as a dog. Can they keep it close?
They can. I think they get boat raced in this game. Yeah, I really do. I think they lose it by 28 or more. And I know that, you know, Pavia and that offense can put up numbers. But if you're Texas, you cannot have an emotional letdown. You have to take out all your frustration on Vanderbilt. They're not going to be taking them lightly. I'm intrigued about this game, but I think Texas wins it convincingly.
You know, it is interesting, Lisey Guy. Because Texas is a really good defense. They're still the best scoring defense in the country, best total defense in the country as well. And they've been really good against the run for most of the year. But Diego Pavia, multiple passing touchdowns in all four games against the Power Four this year. Eight TDs to only one single interception. We shall see, and we'll continue our conversations tomorrow on a Football Friday here on Football Full Circle. Until then, he's the mastermind, Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll see you tomorrow, noon Eastern time on FFC.